All right, there you have it. President Biden there talking about his plan to attack the COVID, talking about 100 days of mask wearing for the country, talking about a plan to reopen schools. We knew all of this was coming. We told you at the top of the show that this was his plan.
He's got a series of executive actions that are already printed out and laid out in the desk in front of him. And is that the vice president behind him? I can't tell who
that's
that is.
Fauci.
No, on the other side.
Oh.
Anthony Fauci looks nothing like Kamala Harris.
I just was
even
worried
with
about
my
you because when
I know what you're saying.
Because when I looked at the screen, there was just two dudes.
No, there's somebody to his right, our left, standing in a maroon dress. With, but anyway.
That's not Fauci.
I believe that's the vice president looking over his shoulder. And Anthony Fauci is in the room as well. And I think other people will take to the podium and speak a little bit later, but these series of executive actions that he's going to sign are, again, like you said, not surprises. We knew a lot of this was coming, but this was his first real chance to address the country on any real topic outside of the celebration from yesterday and the normal ceremonies that we see in the inauguration.
Hey, what else is going on?
Time for What's Happening.
What's happening?
Well, there was a fire. We talked a lot about vaccines over the course of these last 45 minutes, an hour or so. There was a huge fire that broke out. The world's largest vaccine manufacturer, it's called the Serum Institute of India, in this huge complex there. There was smoke billowing out of one of the buildings in this massive complex in the city of Pune. In Maharashtra state.
Very good.
It takes time.
Very good.
I have a cramp.
Again with the ailments. Where's your cramp?
In my tongue now.
Oh.
The firm is producing about 50 million doses a month of vaccine developed by Oxford AstraZeneca. There are at least 5 fire trucks that have been sent to this building. They're not saying that this is going to be a massive hit in terms of vaccine production worldwide, but specifically there in India, they are concerned.
We talked about this a little bit earlier, but Amazon has offered to help the administration with COVID-19 vaccine distribution. So that is a good sign. They say our scale allows us to make a meaningful impact immediately in the fight against COVID-19. And we stand ready to assist you in this effort. The letter also calls for vaccinating Amazon employees because they are, well, essential employees. We all know it. They've probably been the most essential to us in the past year.
Lucy Bailey at NBC News wrote an article about jobless claims. Around 900,000 Americans filed for initial jobless claims last week. And they said the first weekly initial jobless claims of the Biden era fall to 900,000. I'm going to read that to you again. They filed for initial jobless claims last week. But she credits Joe Biden with this. That's all I'm going to say.
A military Humvee stolen from a National Guard facility in L.A. was found yesterday morning. Apparently, somebody stole the armored vehicle in Bell. Said to be worth $120,000. How the hell do you steal a military Humvee?
From a National Guard armory. I have no idea. No idea. But the timing of that was really concerning. If you remember, we were concerned that there was going to be a mass disruption of the inauguration. And then the headline, somebody stole a Humvee. That wasn't good. There is a new rule about... a new rule at the NBA, no huggings.
No hugging.
No handshakings.
Which makes no sense because they're playing one-on-one defense and then they don't get to hug after the game. It's another one of these arbitrary rules. No handshakes, no hugging.
The NBA issued a memo that reaffirmed their rules, require teams to remain on their half of the court in the pregame and halftime warmups. Pregame, at least, you always would see, you know, guys from both teams that knew each other, played together at some other place. They'd come together and high five and how you doing? Limits physical contact to include only elbow or fist bumps. High
but
fives, hugs, handshakes.
You're sweating all over each other the whole game.
If you're playing right, basketball is a much more contact sport. You could argue even than football. I mean, just because you're in constant contact with somebody. The MyPillow CEO, we told
I have a quick little NBA addendum.
Oh, okay.
The Miami Heat will be using coronavirus sniffing dogs to screen fans. Did you know that dogs had this ability?
Dogs are magical creatures that live with us. We're lucky to have them.
To sniff out the COVID?
Yes.
Really?
Every time my dog looks at me sideways, I think I have the cancer.
Dogs are new part of the safety protocol at American Airlines Arena, as 1,500 season ticket holders will be allowed to attend the Heat's January 28th home game. For fans attending the game in a group, if a dog alerts to any person, the entire group will not be allowed in. How are you going to do that? Who do you know? Like, okay, so you're streaming into the stadium. Yeah,
just stand far apart.
Yeah.
Don't walk in with a group of people.
I guess you're going to be all spaced out 6 feet.
Yeah, so Timmy gets sniffed up and he can't go in. That doesn't mean I can't go in.
They said those who are not comfortable with the dog search can take a standard coronavirus test, which could take up to 45 minutes to get results.
Hold on a second. Who's less comfortable with a dog sniffing their crotch?
Well, if you want to bring in your drugs. You want to bring in your drugs?
They're not sniffing for drugs. They're not drug dogs.
They probably would know if you had drugs on you.
What are they? They're not going to tell anybody.
Do you ever wonder if the dog is smelling something else? Like, what if you just had pizza? I've just always wondered that.
She's got pepperoni. Like, what coronavirus smells a lot like pepperoni.
But what if this dog is just hungry right now?
I always think that because when I go to stadiums, I always have meat snacks in my backpack when I'm covering the games, like beef jerky and stuff like that.
These are trained dogs. They're not going to be distracted by your meat
sticks.
You
never know.
You never know.
Could be just a day. A dog's going to have a day too.
And then I feel like, oh no, what if the dog hits on my backpack? And it's like, well, Shannon, the worst thing that can happen is they'll thoroughly search your backpack and find nothing of concern. It's not like you've got a kilo in there.
Well, that's how you store your meat sticks, is in cocaine.
In cocaine,
keep it dry,
there
I suppose. The MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell, says more stores have been dropping his MyPillow products because of his meeting with the president last week, where there were notes that he had that showed that he was at least interested in the option of declaring martial law to keep him in office. Anyway, the better story about the MyPillow guy is that there's a rumor going around that he was in a 9-month relationship with Jane Krakowski from 30 Rock.
Who cares?
But here's the funniest part about it. Friends of hers have gone to tabloids and say she tried to keep this thing under wraps. She says she's never met Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy. And Mike Lindell said, I have never even heard of Jane Krakowski.
That's an odd pairing.
That's why it's so weird.
All right. It looks like Patrick Mahomes, if you want some NFL playoff news. Mahomes took the majority of first-team reps in practice today. Yeah. He does remain in the NFL's concussion protocol, but if you think he is not going to play in the AFC Championship game, you are not a smart person.
I believe Roger Goodell has to make a choice between which game he was going to go to, and last weekend he spent time at the NFC games. This weekend, he's supposed to be at the AFC game, which is even more reason to believe that Patrick Mahomes is going to play.
Or is it?
It is.
Well, here's the thing. He's going to look bad. So there are going to be people who speculate that he's the boogeyman if Patrick Mahomes plays, and they think that he still should be under the concussion protocol. They'll be showing Roger Goodell, and they'll be saying some people speculate that Roger Goodell cares more about making money with this game than he cares about the health of Patrick Mahomes. Which is 100% accurate. Right. But I also don't think that he had a concussion. I think that when you look at that hit, it was more of like a chokeout situation, and everybody else agrees. All right, coming up next.
Most people are saying, a lot of people are saying. Is that what you just
everybody.
Said?
Everybody agrees with me. Every single person.
Our small business shout out, Tequila's Cantina here in Burbank. Man, their food is good.
Yes, sir.
Gary and Shannon will continue in just a moment.
It's not that we're not proud. We are. We're proud of you, Morgan. Did you vote for next month's Employee of the Month? Because I did.
Did I tell you? I think I did. No, I didn't vote yet, but I told you who to vote for.
I did that.
You did that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm out of breath, guys. I was dancing.
Yeah, I know. I saw
whole
that
promo.
You,
yeah, and I'm gonna post it on my Instagram.
Wow, you're not old enough to be out of breath.
Wait, you didn't even say what your Instagram handle was in your promo.
Yes, you
I did.
Oh, you
just
did?
Didn't listen. Yeah, typical mother things.
I know. I totally heard your voice and stopped
Mom,
listening.
Mom, look. I was dancing. She's not looking.
This is what happens when you don't give your kid enough attention.
It's so true.
You know what? I'm going to start paying more attention to you.
Don't lie. Don't lie.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll get into Swamp Watch. Again, taking suggestions about if we should change the name of that, if we should change the little sounder at the beginning of it, because it's... you know, it's different. It's a different time, perhaps, in Washington, although not entirely. We'll get into that at the bottom of the hour. At the top of next hour, we're going to rejoin this story that the president interrupted. We're going to talk about how Fresno County's DA is the latest district attorney to come out against L.A. County's DA, George Gascon. But every Thursday at about this time, we've been doing our small business shout-outs brought to you by SoCal Gas Company.
And our friends over at Tequila's in Burbank, Patricia and Carlos Rivera, are our new friends. We haven't met officially, but we have tasted your delicious food and had your margaritas. And Steve Gregory is your number one fan as well. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us. We really appreciate it.
Patricia, what have you guys been up to? I know that this has been a very tough time for a lot of different restaurants and small businesses, et cetera. How have you guys been able to weather these last 10 months?
Well, first of all, it has been challenging. The biggest challenge is not being able to employ all our employees. We have about 24 employees, and right now we have about 4 to 5 working with the rotating schedule. So in addition to that challenge is just being able to maintain our sales so we could remain open. So it's not really even about trying to make money. It's about continuing to have our restaurant and to maintain, to have our doors open. So when we do open for dine-in, dine-out, that we will have a restaurant.
What's the story? How did you get started?
Well, first of all, the restaurant business is in both of our bloods. My mom, our parents had a restaurant. And by the way, she strongly encouraged me to go to college to make sure that I didn't end up like her. And the funny thing is, I did go to college, but nevertheless, I ended up like Mom, which I'm very proud. Carlos also, his family has an extensive history of owning restaurants. So when we met about 10 years ago, he said, I want a restaurant, and that thought, oh, no. And before I knew it, we have a restaurant. So initially, we both would wait on tables because we didn't have enough money to pay for employees. And then little by little, it started growing. And now, fortunately, in quotation marks, we have 24 employees.
Wow. What sets you guys apart? I mean, you could throw a rock in most of LA and hit a restaurant that specializes in Mexican fare. What sets Tequila's Cantina and Grill apart?
I think, first of all, what sets us apart is how much we care about our customers. That's the first thing. We try to make sure that they're happy. Also, we make sure that our food is to the quality that the customers expect. And, you know, we're just a small family restaurant, and we just want to make it an environment where everyone feels comfortable, and that includes our employees. Our margaritas, we're really well known for our margaritas. Very tasty, if I could say so. And
I'll say so.
And our food.
They are very tasty.
Thank you.
It's Street Taco Thursday today.
Yes, Street Taco Thursday. So another thing that we had to do during COVID is try to be creative. So every day we do have a special, and that seems to keep our customers engaged. And, yeah, it's Street Taco Thursday. We have 5 tacos for $7.50, and they're nicely packaged. So by the time the customers receive them, they're still fresh.
I love the idea of having a different special on every day, because there's so few things that, you know, we can like look forward to or get excited about, or events, you know, because we're not going to events. So when I'm scrolling through your website here, tequilascantina.com, and you can see, you know, Combo Wednesdays, buy any combo, get one free of equal or lesser value, Crunchy Taco Tuesday, Margarita Mondays, two for one margaritas on Friday. It's something to get excited about.
Yeah, no, we definitely agree, because we also felt it initially during COVID when we would order food and sometimes the food wouldn't arrive as we remembered it, you know, as tasty, because it wasn't as nicely packaged. So when we started coming up with ideas what we needed to do to keep our business afloat, we started, you know, the specials every day and started the special packaging. And fortunately, that's keeping us afloat now.
Well, it's good news. We're glad that you're afloat, and we hope that this ends soon, you know, that you'll be able to take care of your employees, because as you said, that's going to be one of the important things. Patricia Rivera and her husband Carlos own Tequila's Cantina and Grill here in Burbank. You can find them online, tequilascantina.com. Also, social media, Tequila's, at Tequila's Burbank, is if you want to check out their menus and specials and things like that.
Patricia, nice to talk to you. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you both, and thank you to Steve Gregory for the connection.
Oh, he's fine. He's... Patricia, thank you. You bet. Of course, our small business shout-out brought to you by our friends at SoCal Gas Company.
Coming up next, we will head to D.C. Looks like the new administration has hit the ground running. What they took action on today, we'll give you all the details. I like that shit.
Maybe one that just says Trapper Keeper on it.
Yeah, just like low key, like if you know, you know. Hey, coming up after Layla's news at the top of the hour, vaccine tourism. People in Hollywood, the rich people of the world, are flying to other states because California sucks.
We saw Anthony Fauci at the White House earlier today when President Biden was giving his update on COVID. He's also going to be part of, Fauci is, the White House press briefing at 1 o'clock today with Jen Psaki, the new White House press secretary. Some good COVID news. Eli Lilly says it has an antibody drug that can prevent up to 80% of COVID-19 cases in nursing home residents. Bamlanivimab, say that four times, is the first drug that appears to work as a preventative against COVID-19. They said that this antibody drug also reduces infection risks for staff and elderly residents alike compared to those who got a placebo. Talk to your doctor about Bamlanivimab.
President Biden putting into play his national COVID strategy, ramp up vaccinations, testing, reopen schools. That is where we kick off. So, Womp Watch.
Drain the swamp. We're going to drain the swamp of Washington. We're going to have fun doing it. We're all doing it together.
Drain the swamp. Drain the swamp. Drain the swamp. Swamp Watch.
Well, and after a day that was pretty busy but pretty quiet, there's a lot of stuff that Joe Biden has done. Inez de la Cutera is joining us live from Washington with the latest on what promises to be a more boring presidency, perhaps. Inez, how are you?
Hey, doing well. Probably more boring, but it seems like they're trying to send the message, at least, that they're going to be getting more done. That's their message. And you saw that yesterday with Joe Biden signing a number of executive orders. He's signing more today. He's rolling out his COVID-19, or the beginning of his COVID-19 plan today. He signed an executive order on the COVID-19 response, including one that authorizes broader use of the Defense Production Act to speed up the vaccine. He's asked, actually, if he thinks that. So his goal is to have 100 million vaccines within 100 days. And he was asked by reporters at the end of that if that was enough. And he talked about how when he had announced his plan, everybody had said it wasn't possible. So he said, give me a break. Come on, man. So facing a little bit of pushback from the reporter in the room there. But he is making COVID-19 a focal point of, you know, his first 100 days. We are seeing Anthony Fauci is going to be staying on. He's going to be appearing in the White House briefing room. So, yeah, all his whole focus today, at least, and I think in the coming weeks, will be on the pandemic.
The other things that he's done in terms of his executive actions that he took had a lot to do with immigration yesterday. Can you talk at all about those?
Yeah. So, I mean, yesterday so I was with him on Inauguration Day, and within the first few hours of being on the White House grounds, they ushered the press into the Oval Office, and he had a stack of executive orders on his desk. He signed three in the presence of reporters. One was on climate change. The other was on providing resources to underserved communities. And then the third had to do with COVID-19. It was mandating masks and social distancing on federal properties. And then the press was escorted out. He, according to the White House, signed the rest of those executive orders afterwards, and one had to do with ending the Muslim ban. Another had to do with halting the construction of the border wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. He's also rejoining the WHO. He's ending the Keystone XL pipeline. So a number of executive orders on a number of different topics. We should point out, Jen Psaki, the new press secretary, actually mentioned this afterwards during the briefing. She said that they had been working on this for a while, that they had consulted with lawyers from the Office of Legal Counsel. They were preparing to get these executive orders signed on day one. And Joe Biden also, before signing them, did acknowledge, he seemed to admit that he knows executive orders might not be the way to go about everything. He talked about how these executive orders were just the first step, but that he planned to work with Congress to pass legislation, that he knows legislation is going to be the way to go going forward.
Is there a feeling of a big exhale in Washington that now you have a president there that isn't as, what's the word, that isn't really going to surprise a lot of people from day to day? I mean, it felt like there were surprises coming out of the White House or the administration for the past 4 years pretty regularly, kind of to know what was going to happen next.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I mean, you look at just the briefing from yesterday had such a different feel to it. And it could have just been because it was Jen Psaki's first day. It was Inauguration Day. There was kind of a festive atmosphere at the White House for the new administration. But if you compare that to what we saw with Kayleigh McEnany, Sean Spicer, there was just a much less combative feel. A lot of the questions had to do with policy. She went around the room. She called on pretty much everybody. Sometimes, some reporters got multiple questions in, and she vowed to hold those press briefings daily, which is such a far cry from what we saw with the Trump administration when, many of these, their weeks would go by with no briefings. They had taken the cameras down from the briefing room for a while. So it's a very different tone that they're setting.
How come nobody pressed Jen Psaki yesterday on the size of the inauguration crowd?
Yeah, I thought there was some Twitter jokes going around. I saw, that would have been kind of funny for her to come out and say it was the biggest crowd ever, given how the streets were essentially totally deserted, apart from the law enforcement officials present. She did get a couple, fluffy questions here and there, but I think a lot of the other questions focused on policy.
Inez, thank you. Appreciate it.
I was going to say that.
You can
thank
say
you.
It as well.
Okay. Inez, thank you. She hates us.
No, she doesn't.
She thinks we're morons.
Well, that's different. You can think we're morons and not hate us
and
at the same time.
Oh, you guys are cute morons.
Good times.
More
all right.
Swamp Watch More when swamp we come watch. Back.
All you have to do is wait a second.
People keep sending me squirrel facts, different squirrel articles. Maybe we'll get into some squirrel talk for Strange Science.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That'd be fine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, squirrels. We've also done quite a extensive outreach to our owl friend, and we're going to try to get that to be real, right? I mean, we can't actually have anybody in the building, so we're going to have to kind of hunt our way around that part of it, but we may have a special owl guest tomorrow, which would be fun.
I would love to have an owl on the program.
We are talking about Swamp Watch, stuff that's going on in Washington, D.C. President Biden apparently does plan to keep FBI Director Christopher Wray in his position. usually, we haven't seen this in a while, but usually FBI directors serve a term of 10 years. And, you know, just simply because of the turmoil, is that the right word? Over the last, say, 15 or 20 years, we haven't had anybody do that. So Christopher Wray would still serve out the rest of his term. Christopher Wray was nominated by President Trump in June of 2017 after he got rid of James Comey. So Jen Psaki, she didn't directly answer that question last night. You heard Inez mention the White House press briefing from last night. It was really just a get-to-know-you kind of thing. There were not a lot of hard questions that Jen Psaki was faced with. But when asked whether or not Biden had confidence in Christopher Wray, Jen Psaki said she hadn't spoken with the president about Wray specifically in recent days, and then tweeted today that her remarks caused an unintentional ripple and that she wanted to state very clearly President Biden does intend to keep Director Wray on his job as he has confidence in the job that that Christopher Wray is doing. So that's good.
Pete Buttigieg is getting applause from both sides of the aisle today, delivering a wide-ranging performance, they said, that drew praise from both Democrats and Republicans.
Wait a minute. Pete Buttigieg is under 40 years old. What is he doing in government? Oh, wait. That's what we want.
Yes, that is what we want.
That is exactly what we want.
He talked for 2.5 hours. He advanced the case for Biden's climate change agenda and an infusion of money to rebuild the nation's transportation infrastructure. Hey, Pete, why don't we start with the five through Burbank?
No. Let's start with the stupid bullet train. Get the federal government to cut off funding for the stupid bullet train so that Gavin Newsom can't sit in a closet and rub himself thinking about trains rolling through Bakersfield.
That too. But just for once, I'd like to drive through Burbank on the 5 and not feel like I'm in Beirut.
Here is an interesting version of the transfer of power that I had yet to hear. According to Politico, the Pentagon was blocking some members of Joe Biden's incoming administration from getting access to critical information about current military operations, including things like the drawdown of troops in Afghanistan, some special operations missions in Africa, and the COVID vaccine distribution program for the military. According to the Pentagon, this obstruction wasn't within the military itself, because the military strives to be apolitical. It was that senior White House appointees who work at the Pentagon were the ones who were obstructing the Biden team. And they considered it unprecedented in modern presidential transitions. And according to a Defense Department official, it will actually cause problems. It will hobble the new administration on key national security matters as they take over their new positions in the Pentagon.
Well, Biden has filled the Oval Office with images of American leaders and icons. He has focused the room around a massive portrait of FDR that hangs across from the Resolute desk. Obviously, a nod to a president who helped the country through significant crises. He's got Thomas Jefferson and Alexander Hamilton hung near each other. Of course, trying to show that the two men who frequently disagreed show maybe the benefits that come from differing views. It looks like there's a bust of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert F. Kennedy that flank the fireplace there.
Wait a minute.
There's a bust of Cesar Chavez.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Isn't that proof that Joe Biden wants to serve more than two terms as president? As FDR did.
I think you're reading into it.
Yes, I am.
What do those chemtrails outside tell you?
Listen, that is clearly a nod to him never giving up power in the White House. I guarantee you, Joe Biden is going to try to change the Constitution so he's never kicked out of office.
Okay. Is that what we're doing? We're doing wild Joe Biden conspiracy theories?
I'm just trying to continue what we've been doing for the last several years.
I don't think Joe Biden wants to be there right now. I think he realized he was the only guy that they could run that would have a chance to beat Trump. And he was like, all right, fine, I'll do it.
His tears the other day when he was reminishing about the loss of his son.
Yes, and it should have been Bo.
I wish Bo was here so he could do this instead of me.
Yes, it should have been Bo. This guy has put in 40 years or so of public service. You know, he wants to retire and go paint pictures like George W. in Texas. You know, he's up there. It's enough is enough. But I think that he was told, listen, you're our only shot. So you got to go. Got to run.
Help me,
and
Joe
now
Biden.
He runs all over the place.
You're my only hope.
See him running yesterday.
God, that was uncomfortable. Didn't the Secret Service tell him not to run? Sir, please don't run. You're going to trip on the dots in the middle of the street. And then the hip goes out and we are not taking care of
it. I mean, I fell down running the other day.
Well,
what?
Have you seen you run?
What have you? You've never. Oh, you have. That's right. When you cheated your way to beating me in the 40-yard dash.
You want to check that thing out in slow motion? You can. There's some definite.
Yeah, I did.
You have some bone
issues.
There
were three men on that grassy knoll.
What? Nancy Pelosi did say.
I thought
say
we were doing conspiracy theories.
Nancy Pelosi did say today she would soon take steps that would formally launch a second impeachment trial of Donald Trump. He used to be the president of the United States. Although she is not offering a specific timeline, Senate leaders continue to fight over the details of all of this. But Nancy Pelosi is expected to transfer the House article of impeachment against Donald Trump in the coming days. That requires the Senate. They are required to begin a trial into the charges that Trump incited the insurrection at the Capitol. She said she could deliver the articles as soon as Friday, but it's more likely that it wouldn't happen until sometime next week. So we shall see how that goes. Not going to be anytime soon. We know that.
Tequila sent us over margaritas. Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I just brought those in. The Cadillac one, she said, is stronger. So that one's for Shannon.
What could go wrong?
Make her run after she takes one. Right. When we come back.
Vaccine tourism. All the rich people are getting on their private planes and they're going to places that actually...
Wait, they're leaving Hollywood to go to a Republican-controlled state.
That's been open forever.
Oh, boy.
To get the vaccine because even Florida is doing a better job. Florida, people.
You know who lives in Florida?
Floridians.
Gary and Shannon will continue after this.